Psalm 22, verses 22 through 31. And I'll read them and then explain why I chose them. This is Psalm 22, verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let me say a short prayer. Father, we thank you for these words. In Psalm 22, we thank you for what they point us toward, worldwide proclamation of your praise that you have done it, Lord. I pray for you to guide our reflections and the rest of our prayers this evening. We thank you and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So you may be familiar with Psalm 22, as it's a psalm that is often associated with the crucifixion narratives of Jesus, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which the first line of Psalms is how people would have known the Psalms in the Psalter, just like we know the first lines of hymns. That's often how I look up hymns in the hymnal. I look up the first lines. And there's many connections to Jesus' passion in this psalm, but as we saw from what I just read, the tone and the voice and the message changes about halfway through, or two-thirds of the way through, and obviously it's all connected, but I just wanted to focus on the end of this psalm. The first half presents this sufferer, this innocent sufferer, this person who is lamenting life. They say, I'm a worm and not a man. The dogs wail at me, right? So we can see why Jesus would be crying out this psalm when he's being crucified. And yet, the tone changes in verse 22. And we see this line here, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. That verse is quoted in the book of Hebrews. And if we associate the person who is the sufferer in the first half of the psalm with Jesus, we can think of how this is Jesus telling other people about the Lord himself in the midst of the congregation. Jesus witnessing for the Lord himself and leading us, leading God's people in praising him. And then this continued praise and cry of praise for everyone who fears the Lord to praise the Lord. And this is because he has not despised the affliction of the afflicted. He has delivered us. So not only has he delivered this innocent sufferer, but according to this psalm, he seems to have delivered a whole host of people who fear the Lord. So it's a pretty amazing psalm. And I'm not going to go much more into it tonight because I want to give us plenty of time for prayer. But I did notice the connection to mission. If you look in verses, look through the end of the psalm here. Look at verse 27. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. God called his people to be a blessing to the nations, a light to the Gentiles. And that's what we see taking place in this psalm, see being spoken about in this psalm. In verse 26, we see the afflicted, those who are the least of these, being satisfied in the Lord, and likely even materially, and having their needs met, right, in the Lord and in his deliverance. In verse 29, we see not only the afflicted and the weak, but we see the prosperous eating and worshiping before the Lord. Then in verse 30 and 31, as I love this, it talks about the coming generation, the posterity serving the Lord. So the offspring and the offspring's offspring serving the Lord. And that they shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it, that he has done it. Now, many of you are on the missions committee, so I don't know if I need to say this, but in mission, in the way people think about missions, is you want to raise up leaders from where they're from. You want to raise up a term that people have used is indigenous leaders, right? People go serve in a region, and you want to raise up people by God's grace through the work of the Spirit who love Christ and are used by him to make more disciples wherever they are from. And so then God's kingdom is built in various regions around the world. And I love that in these final two verses of this psalm, because generations discipling and evangelizing the next generation. So really, I love this psalm. It shows us the pattern of what God is doing, what Jesus has done on the cross. On the cross, he declares, what does he say? He says, it is finished. It is finished, as he's dying on the cross. And I think that this final line of this psalm, that he has done it, it points us to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who has come and died for us, who suffered for us to deliver us from all of our affliction, from sin, from death. And as we are called to him, we also are called to be a part of this mission. So our job tonight is to pray for people who we know. One of my cousins is now in the prayer booklet. Tom can speak to the new people. And I know we have a few other family members. Howie and Joanne are going out very soon. So we pray for all these people around the earth who are telling the Lord's goodness to the world. And then pray for strength for them, pray for relationships and opportunities to share the gospel, for the Lord to open up those pathways through his Spirit, and pray for Jesus to lead the way through his Spirit, in, as Shiv said this morning, and allowing people to see him. Because that's what changes hearts. That's how the Lord works. So